It's more of a discussion night, so for us to learn. But we're going to start out with an employee recognition. Patricia Tolley. Want to come up for us?
On the plaque, Patricia Tolley, in recognition of steadfast service to the citizens of Othello, 1996 to 2011. Tonight we are recognizing Patricia for 19, or 15 years of service for the city of Othello. Patricia works in the finance department as deputy finance officer and payroll clerk, so we all love her. Her experience and hard work have made Patricia a positive contributor to the success of the city of Othello. So I'd just like to thank you for your hard work and all that you do, and smile at me around.
Okay, next on the agenda is left one discussion, and we're going to start with Ken Kaler. You're on.
Ken was supposed to do the first part, but anyway.
I'll introduce you if you want.
Is that what you want?
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I just wasn't sure what to counsel or where they think this left board is or what it is, so I thought maybe it was a good idea to bring it up for a little discussion. I'll tell you a little bit about the program. It was started several years ago. I can't give you the exact date. I know before I was on the board, Larry Bray was on it, so it's been probably 10, 12 years ago, I would say at least, maybe longer than that. But anyway, it was started because some of the police officers and the firefighters, part of their medical was not being paid, so they put this all together, and portions the insurance didn't pick up by this left one supposedly picked up the bill. So in other words, if you had a medical bill and your insurance paid so much in it, and then left one would step in and pay the remaining portion of it. Or if you didn't have insurance, which we have one that is that particular way, he was uninsurable, ends up to left one, pays that bill as well. Well, nobody else will get into this program. It's done and over with when these particular recipients are no longer on the program. We have eight left. I think there's, five from the officers, or from the police officers, and I think three from the fire department. Maybe wrong, maybe four. But anyway, there's a fund in there that's funded every year through the police department, also the fire department. I don't know, do we kick a little in from our general fund as far as the city's concerned?
Well, the police department's contribution is from the general fund. That's the only, and that goes into a reserve fund for extended care if somebody goes into extended care.
And there's actually two funds. There's one for the medical portion of it, and then one for, like say, the care of your convalescent or whatever. And one reason why I'm bringing this up, since we had this one particular person that was uninsurable, well, it's cut pretty hard into our reserves. I know our last quarter, we had a big chunk taken right out of that, and we wondered what happened here. But he was in between getting Social Security and Medicare. In other words, he was on Social Security, but his Medicare had not kicked in when he needed all his medical. And it created quite a burden on it. And then we got to looking at this thing, well, gee, what's going to happen here if this continues? Well, luckily, he is now on Medicare as of the 1st of July. But he's still got some bills coming in from the last quarter that we haven't seen yet. So we're going to get another hit in this next quarter. So our question, and maybe the possibility, that we may have to kick in some more money into this fund. It may have to be yet this year. We're not sure. We're kind of looking at that situation. And then once that his Medicare takes place, then we'll be all right again. I think we'll be fine to carry on through with it. But it's that catch 22, you're right there in the middle of it. There's nothing we can do about it because we're committed to this. This program was set up, and that's the way it is. So we're going to have to live with it, whatever takes place. But we've been watching it pretty close. There's a board of five, two of them from the county, and then from the city, and the fire department, and the police department. And so we're all looking at this pretty close, and anything that we can do to make it work, we'll make it happen. That give you kind of a quick rundown. I don't know. Eamon, you got something you want to add to what I'm saying?
The bottom line is that we have to watch our budget through this year because you don't know year-to-year expenses incurred. We have one left member that is getting older, and we had a $21,000 last cycle. But I want to talk a little bit about convalescent care, because that's where most cities have been caught in recent years. They have huge expenditures, monthly expenditures for convalescent care. About 8 years ago, we implemented an insurance policy on all but one of the left members, and that was to take care of most of that so we don't have those heavy hits. We have been paying, the city has been paying, insurance premiums for about 8 years on these individuals. However, if one is uninsurable, and if that individual goes into convalescent care, we will have some high monthly premiums for that. But we have nobody else on staff that's left one, so they cannot retire and fall into this pool. So we have eight outstanding. We're better than most cities relative to left one. Not as good as a couple, but we're better than most. So that is a fund mandate that we have out there. We've done the best we could to manage it.
Any questions?
So,
go ahead.
What you're saying is PICO's convalescent care would be paid to $3,000-$5,000 a month?
Yes. Exactly right.
Yeah.
We've got a little reserve in that, but it's going to eat it up pretty fast in order to make that happen.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, crime-free rental property. Chief Dunnigan?
Mayor, Council, good evening. What I'd like to talk to you a little bit about tonight is called the Crime-Free Rental Property Program. It's supported by the state legislature. And the reason why I'm coming to you with this is that if we decide to adopt such a program, it will require a fairly significant ordinance adoption. And I'll give you a real brief rundown on the ordinance here in a minute. But what this is a program that establishes partnerships between the police department, local landlords, and tenants who work together to provide a safer, healthier community by identifying and eliminating criminal activity in rental properties. And as you know, Othello has a lot of rental problems, a lot of rental property, and there are a lot of problems that come from those rental units, especially the larger multifamily dwellings. Negative impacts include a decline in property values, increased property damage, which we've all seen and tried to deal with as best as we can, a loss of rent for the landlords, fear and frustration in dealing with dangerous tenants, toxic contamination from drugs, illegal drug use, and resentment, anger towards neighbors and managers. The complete program will require an ordinance to establish the program, which would include a licensing requirement, and the description of the actual program, which it would also include education. Basically, what it would require is an ordinance that would require people who have rental property to actually buy licenses for those rental properties. The ordinance would set the fees and establish that. Then we would write a dedicated fund section so that the funds taken from the license fees would go back to the program, which is trying to eliminate crime and rental areas. And there would be a provision that if the landlord would participate in the crime-free program, the fees would be waived. So the fees would only be for those property managers out there that don't want to participate in the program and just want to buy their licenses and go the way they're going now. The program creates an active coalition between property owners, property managers, residents, and the police. Owners, managers will receive workshop training in all the relevant areas with regard to rentals. We'll cover rental applications, rental agreements, tenant screening, evictions, Section 8 housing, working with the police, how to identify criminal activity, how to identify drug use activity, and how to identify gang activity. And then we'd also help them with crime prevention through the CTEP or SEPTEP, which is crime prevention through environmental design. And so we would put together that program, we'd run that through the department, and then upon completion of the 8 to 10 hours of training, then the property manager would get a certificate and they'd be able to operate exempt from the fees from the license. This is not an unusual program. It's supported by the state legislature. Currently, there are ways in the Landlord-Tenant Act and responsibilities for landlords and tenants. But it's just like anything. If you don't read it and you're not really aware of it, you don't understand it. So the program is designed to highlight those areas, tell landlords what to look for, what they have, and how to deal with it so we can eradicate the problem just as quickly as we can. So that is the long and short of it. There are a lot of them out there. Mattawa is doing this. Our city attorney, Catherine Kennison, is very familiar with the process, with the ordinances. I'm working on one of the we're typing an ordinance now. We are able to put together with information from Catherine that we've got. Sunnyside participates in this. Kent, Washington participates in this. Mattawa participates, and I'm sure there's others. So it's a worthwhile program. I think it has a lot of potential to reduce a lot of the problems that we're seeing in these multifamily dwellings and rental properties. So if this would be something that you would consider, then I will bring back an ordinance for you completed so that you can review that and read through it yourself and completely understand the program.
I'd like to see how many communities demographically compared to ours that are doing this. That I mean, you know, like Mattawa, obviously, you know, they're a little bit higher demographically. And Sunnyside is pretty comparable to the list. But I'd like to see the total number. Like throughout our state, or
okay,
To me,
I like the program. It sounds really great, mm-hmm. And I think this would have been really, really good if we had this a couple years ago when we were working on our gang issue finance, because most of it was being incurred in rental properties, and I think it would have been a good tool. My only question is, we have so many rentals around. And I feel we'll have some people that are really that fee that they're going to have to pay, the license, starting to license all this. And that's my question. If I would like some public input on this too, because there is so many rental properties out there, and we have a lot of landlords. And like I say, some of them I know will be very appreciative to work along with it, but then we're going to have some that are very reluctant to work with us because all they do is care about getting their check the first of every month, and they don't care what goes on in the house, mm-hmm. as long as they get their rent. Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right.
I wish there was a way to do this without an ordinance and see how it would work.
Well, I can tell you how it works without an ordinance, because the regulations and the requirements for landlords to do certain things is already in the Landlord-Tenant Act. They don't know about it and they don't do it. And then when they get made to do it, then they resent that just as much. And a lot of it isn't so much that they don't want to do it, it's just that they don't know they're supposed to. For instance, if you live in a multifamily housing unit and you suspect your neighbor is doing drugs or gang activity, you go to the property manager or the owner and you say, I think this is going on. Under the law, the property manager or the owner of the property is required to conduct an investigation. And if the investigation turns out that it is going on, they write them a stop and desist letter, and if that doesn't work, then they go right to an unlawful detainer and have the person evicted. And that's out there. It's on the books, it's in state law, but not too many people are aware of it.
Yeah.
And even people in our judicial system aren't necessarily that aware of it either. The one that we worked really hard. You know, we are allowed to give them public records with regard to what's going on, how many crimes, how many calls. And they go to the court, and the court says, well, you got to hire an attorney. Well, that's not quite right either. So there's a lot of education to be done in this area. It is a complicated issue. But we've got to have some hooks to steer people in the right direction.
I agree with Ken that it is a good program. I mean, but instead of taking and trying to educate them a little more without throwing in that first fee thing, you lose people when you say, you're either going to pay a fee or you're going to do it our way, and then you don't have to pay a fee. Because nobody likes to be told, especially when you're going, don't I own this place? That's their first thing they think to themselves. I own this thing. Get out of here. You're crazy. But you're right. You know, the Tenant Act and all those play an effect. But I think I agree with Ken. If you can maybe get a little, send a letter out to him, because around here it's predominantly the same people that own a lot of properties, rental properties. It just happens to be maybe a group of 10 that own a lot of rental properties in this town. And if you could just get the majority of them in to kind of to get a forum and see, just kind of steer them along, I think they bite a little quicker than saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. We just wrote an ordinance, and like it or lump it, because it's just, then you're being told. I think if you ask them, I think they'll get on board. And if you educate them, like you said, a lot of them don't know. They really don't know.
What kind of thing?
I think they
do. That would be set by the council. Some of the fees, the one in Sunnyside is $100 for their first rental and $50 for every rental after that. But again, you have to think, remember, these people are conducting business in the city and they're making money off that, but there's no licensing requirements whatsoever. But if you want to go open up a shop, you got to pay a licensing fee.
Yeah, but they are paying property taxes and they are, they are contributing to the community. And so we have to take that into consideration and show a little bit of respect in that sense also. But back to the normal, I do think it's a good thing.
I
just think we've got to sell it.
And
sell
I would like to pursue it.
You're the council. You can have as many public hearings on it as you like.
Yeah. Like I say, I would just like to, like Charles was saying, maybe educate some of these landlords first and step into it slowly with them instead of throwing the ordinance at them right away. And
we've tried education, and we have a lot of vacant or landlords who don't live here. And again, all they care about is getting their check in the mail. They have no idea what's going on in their apartments. They have no idea how many people are subletting. So there's 40 people living in one house, creating all kinds of havoc for the neighbors. And when they're not on site like that, they don't care. And unless there's some kind of encouragement or incentive for them to do this, I don't think we're going to get a lot of participation.
Well, I don't believe those people will change. I think those people that don't live here and aren't on site are going to write that little check, and they're going to be mad about it, and they're going to continue to go about their business.
And if they write the check, then we take that money and we turn it back into the folks who are doing the program to help them continue to keep crime out of the apartment buildings.
And to me, that was my next question. If a landlord participates in these classes and training,
mm-hmm.
could that fee be waived then?
No,
he said it would be. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would be a really good incentive for them to.
Right. Yeah. But I firmly believe the people that reside here and live here, and our landlords to these people are going to jump on board because A, they're cheap and they're not going to want to pay the fee. And then, but the other side is that, you know, they're going to put their jack. The other guys, absolutely not. They're not going to send anybody. They're going to be mad. They're going to hate the community. They're going to hate the city. And ultimately, whoever wrote that ordinance.
So you're asking the chief then to try to get these larger landlords together?
I mean, at least have a forum on it and get some input on it. I mean, what's the worst? You can always go back to step A and write the thing and just say, hey, this is what we're going to do.
But I think you said if we want to go along this, you would have to write up the ordinance. And I would like to see that ordinance too, because then we're going to need some going back to the community and saying, this is what we're looking at implementing in this ordinance and stuff. And that's what we want to educate those landlords with.
Yeah, I'd like to see that ordinance.
Okay.
So do you have a way of contacting those that own the rental properties? Find out who they are?
Yeah, we should be able to do that.
Because when we have the public meeting or something, like here during the council meeting where we start to review this, maybe we can send personal letters out to them, ask them to come. Something like that.
The utility building process.
Right.
And what I'm kind of hearing is if we can get the property owners on board and the council sees the ordinance, that you probably look favorable on it. So the ordinance is not an issue, but give the chief an opportunity with maybe Councilmember Snyder, who sits on the police board commission with the chief, to meet with them. But you're not going to get them all. You point out a good point. There's a lot of absentee owners.
Right.
But meet with the 8 or 10 or 12 that are local and get their input, and maybe they can work something out, bring it back to the council. And then have a public hearing.
One of your bigger ones is going to be running right out the gate.
The biggest one is that. Housing Authority. And the Housing Authority, to their credit, they do a very good job at trying to screen the residents that are there. And I'm sure that they would jump on board with something like this in a heartbeat, because it helps them as well. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Any other questions?
You look at it first. Yeah. You know, I like to see what you're talking about, you know, in writing and look at it. Know, if you want to make changes in it or adjust it for this particular community, and then, yeah, have a forum, get people in there and talk to them, find out what's going on.
Okay.
How they'll react to it.
I'll get that done and get it back to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, committee reports. Do we have any committee reports tonight? Dan?
Oh, I got a quick one here from Guama. Groundwater management area. They had a meeting last Thursday. They will not have one in August. Won't be until September. But they've been working on that model. They got money from the state for, and I think they'll have a pretty good portion of that done here early fall. Matter of fact, they were showing us some samples of it Thursday night, and it's pretty impressive. It's computer generated, most of it, but it's pretty impressive of what they've done. I remember what they said, something like 15,000 wells were involved in this whole thing, and they've set it up to where you can look at the general map and it'll show you the wells here, there, and everywhere. They'll set them up in the different four counties, like A would be for Adams, L would be for Lincoln, F would be for Franklin, G for Grant, and then they number them as they go down the way with them. Well, then they can pull up at the same time. You punch on that button for that specific well, and it'll pull up a description of that, the amount of water, the water rights, the whole bit of each one of those wells, the depth of it, and so it's pretty impressive of what's really coming out of this. program. Some of those wells are 2,400 feet deep. They can only pump about 700, but they're 2,400 feet deep. I mean, it's impressive what really goes on. And, you know, you've got the different layers of water and whatnot, like you've got the Grand Round and all the different ones that we're into. We close up one so they don't go from one to the other, and that's what they're looking at in these well logs as well, to see where they've been cased off, whether they haven't been, and what that flow of water is from one place to the other. Have to get Kevin in here and give you all the gestures to make it work. But, I thought it was pretty impressive of what they're doing. Their next question is, what are they going to do in the future? I mean, if they get this project done, they've got other things in their mind of what they want to do, but it comes back to funding again in time. Whether they go to the state, whether they go to federal, they may even come to the city for certain portions of their. What they're trying to do is get a base for their local funding. You know, from not only the people that's got the wells, but also the cities and the counties and whatnot, and try to set up something from the local areas. Then that lets them expand out so they can get other type of funding, rather from the state they can get federal funding as well. So it's a program that they're working on. They just kicked out some ideas, and that's probably what they're going to be doing in the next year or so, is seeing where we're going to go from here. So, but it's coming. I think it's worthwhile what they're doing now. It's pretty deep. It's not this far over your head, you know, most of that. But I think it's a good issue. One of the big things that would save a lot of these problems would be, of course, if we completed the Columbia Basin Irrigation Project, put surface water in, took care of a lot of those wells, which would help the others go longer. They would last a lot longer, so that's kind of part of the issue of that. So, just give you a quick update.
Any other committee reports? Dan? No? The Law and Justice met the other day. So, Mark, help me with this one. You're on that.
We talked a little bit about getting a adult probation officer. We've been working on that for a few years now, and it sounds like we might be trying to get something started this next year, so they'll be coming to ask the city to help pay for some of the startup costs. It'll help with accountability for these people that are getting sentenced, that right now there's nothing other than if they get rearrested for something. So it'll help, the probation officer will help collect some of the fees. Right now, I think it was 10%. That is all they collect,
correct?
Only collecting 10% right now. So there's a lot of room there, and it sounds like it's that position, usually maybe not the first couple of years, but it sounds like it'll pay for itself having that adult probation officer. The money he collects. It'll help the court systems, you know, after it gets going. Instead of being a new infraction, you know, if something happens, it can just be, you know, part of probation, so they don't have to open up, you know, a new case on it. So it should help out with that too. We're going to have a couple people come and talk to the council about that. When was that, September 1st?
September. Yeah, September workshop.
Yeah. So they can explain it in a little more detail. So, ready to budget 10.
Also, with our agreement, last year we started prosecution they're bumping our fees with the prosecuting department. So that's going to go up a little bit. We'll see that when it's budget time. It's jumping a little bit. For several years, it's going up.
Just the next year.
Was it just year? Next year, and then we'll be caught up? Okay.
It went up this year, and then it goes up.
50%
Okay. Yeah. So you remember at the beginning of the year, we talked about how they wanted to, originally it was for 75 originally, then we bumped, we got a step rate, so we can ease into this easier. So we'll be seeing that in our budget this coming year also as we're looking at that. What else? Other than that, there was some pretty good excitement about getting an adult probation officer because, like Mark was sharing, people get hit for the same thing over and over and over and nothing happens. You know, because there's nobody there to go out and see them and talk to them and enforce what just happened in the courts. So, which is, like, be a good thing. I think we're the only county in the state that doesn't have one, right? Yeah, it doesn't have a probation officer for adults. So, okay, any other committee reports? Old business? New business? Okay, Mayor's announcements. Tomorrow night is Night Out Against Crime, and that's at 5 o'clock at McFarland Junior High. They're also cranking out hot dogs and stuff, so you can make it your dinner if you want to afterwards, after it starts. So, love to see as many people as possible in the community and even from right here in the council to be there. Healthy Communities is this Wednesday at 12. If there's anybody that can go to that, it'd be great to show up to. That's at, what's that at, Eamon?
The county building.
County building, yeah, county services building. I think they have a meal there too, don't they?
Sorry.
Do they serve a meal also? They do, yes. Okay. And then the last day of the pool will be Saturday, August 20th. So it starts the 24th, so that gives them Sunday to clean everything up and close it down as far as the lifeguards and things like that. And then Wednesday, the 10th of August, is the mayor's luncheon, and we're going to have Sheriff Barger there. He'll be talking with us, plus reports from different departments from the county and Othello and stuff. So if anybody's interested in that one, it'll be Barger at that one, the sheriff. Did I miss anything? Anybody think of? Okay, then this meeting is adjourned. Thank you for coming, everybody. Okay.
Close.